Meine Damen und Herren, willkommen zurück zur 36. Episode von Play to Grow, der Podcast. Was haben wir heute für euch? Die meisten werden schon wissen, auf jeden Fall unsere treuen Hörer werden es auf alle Fälle wissen. Nämlich heute kommt Teil 2 von unserer Collaboration mit Sports Journey, der Podcast. Was genau ist es? Für die, was noch nicht wissen. Also der Schwabi und ich sind hier eingeladen worden zu einem anderen Podcast-Format, um unsere Geschichte zu teilen. Dieser Podcast Sports Journey wird gehostet auch von einem ehemaligen Fußballspieler. Also alles rund um das Thema König Fußball, plus was hinterm Vorhang passiert. In Schwabis Episode ist Nummer 33, die haben wir schon ausgestrahlt. Wie ihr wisst, hat dieser Podcast eine Besonderheit, also für uns zumindest, denn er wird in Englisch aufgenommen und ausgestrahlt. Wir haben ja eine Umfrage getätigt auf Instagram, auf unserem Account, wie tut sich unsere Community mit der englischen Sprache, und war schön zu sehen, mehr wie 2/3 haben überhaupt kein Problem, circa ja, 20% so lala, und nur 10% wollen das gar nicht, also keine Sorge, die 10%, also hauptsächlich, wir schauen, dass wir alles auf Deutsch aufnehmen, hin und wieder kann sein, dass so wie jetzt eine Sonderedition kommt, die was wir auf Englisch einstrahlen, aber grundsätzlich bleiben wir der deutschen Sprache schon treu, okay, ich werde immer viel hinzufügen, zurücklernen, genießen, genau, das wollte ich dazu sagen. Dieser Podcast gibt es auch im Videoformat. Das ist ja eine Neuheit für uns, weil normal gibt es uns nur in Audio zu hören. Jetzt bei Spotify und auch auf YouTube könnt ihr euch diesen Podcast auch mit Video reinziehen, sozusagen. Viel Spaß und wir freuen uns auf euer Feedback. Bitte nicht vergessen, die Channels liken und abonnieren. Und über jede einzelne Nachricht, Feedback, positiv sowie negativ, freuen wir uns. Also dann, viel Spaß.
My journey, my life wouldn't be worth anything if I'm not sharing my stories. There needs to be a higher purpose, give people some inspiration.
People associate footballers with a certain lifestyle, but that was not you.
We play football not for titles, for make money, but to grow.
What was the decision to move out of your comfort zone and leave your country?
I guess unhappiness, dissatisfaction, or the only way to escape was career. And I have 2 years ahead of me. Like, how am I gonna survive this? And that's why also why I found my peace of leaving the money aside.
Tell me more about faith. What did you find about yourself?
It showed me how flawed I am, because before, the football was my god.
What was the hardest moment?
I could not pass to you the ball on 5 meters because I lost my confidence. It's all I need is the head coach. It's this. That's all I need to hear. And I was, boom, back. The king again.
Richie, welcome to the Sport Journey podcast. It's a pleasure to have you. How are you doing?
Yeah, pleasure to be your guest, you know, from one podcast host to the other.
Yes, I'm happy to have you here.
Yeah, thank you very much.
How did you start the podcast, actually?
I'm a big, big podcast fan all my life. And, you know, I always had the dream, kind of a dream, to start one day my own. It was only the question about how and with who. And so with Stefan, I started to talk about it. It took years, like the idea was here for years, but until we really executed, it took almost forever, but we are glad we did it. And I always say that my journey, my life wouldn't be worth anything if I'm not sharing my stories. So I think that's why it's a perfect platform for us. Yeah.
Of course. The plan is, of course, to help as many as possible.
That's the plan, right? I mean, of course, we like what we do. We enjoy it, but there needs to be a higher purpose, and it's to give people some inspiration and entertainment as well. And so far, so good, yeah.
How beautiful life can be. You started in Saiblingkirchen in 2005. 21 years later, you are coming back to the exact same place, but as a completely different person. You represent Austria up to the under-21 national team. You played 138 games in the Bundesliga, and you stepped out of your comfort zone, playing in other continents. So if the 13-year-old Richie was sitting here today with us, how proud would have been about everything?
Yeah, well, you know how it is with the word proud. Yeah, I always want to be a little bit careful. But I would definitely sit, like the way I sit here and smile all over my face and I say, oh, what a journey, buddy. You know,
what a journey.
Like, what a journey you have ahead of you. But yeah, I wouldn't give too many advices or tips because let life just happen, you know. I'm not a big fan of writing a letter to my 10-year-old or 15-year-old self.
Would be a big letter.
Oh, yeah. Many stories. Like
many stories.
Those stories on the letter, they are now in our podcast, right? So, no, I'm very happy with everything played out. Mm-hmm. So truly grateful for everything I got to experience. And yeah, I wouldn't do anything different, and I couldn't wish for any different career path, to be honest. Yeah.
And before we talk about football, what did that journey give you as a human being?
You know, again, the name of our podcast is Play to Grow, right? Mm-hmm. And it's such a beautiful name to us because it represents everything we stand for. We play football, not for titles, for make money, but to grow as a player, but as a human in your personality, mm-hmm. with your character. And for me, I always took my growth out of different cultures, different environment, new challenges, new adventures, mm-hmm. right? Everything that's new is where I take my education almost. You know, it's funny, I speak with Schwabi, you know? Yes. I speak with Schwabi about it, and he's doing his master's and his degrees in his business, you know, in the university. And I'm super proud, right?
Yes.
We have the word again. I'm proud of him, really. Yes. I admire him for doing it. And when he recommend to me, I'm like, it's not me. It's not me, because my teacher, my education is the world, is the streets, yes. right? I wanna be educated by the life. Mm-hmm. So that's the career path I took. And I'm not saying studying at universities is bad. I'm just saying
it's not yours.
It's not me. Yeah.
What is yours?
Mine is the life. Mine is the challenge. Mine is the, just throw me into any water and I will always find a way to swim. Mm-hmm. If we speak about talents or gifts from God, some is super fast, some is very good at math.
Yes.
I'm just super good at swimming, but mm-hmm. not actual swimming. But you know the story I try to tell, right?
Yes, of course. Yeah. And people associate footballers abroad with a certain lifestyle, but that was not you. Not being part of the players who are walking with an expensive bag, you were kind of humble.
Am I right?
I did my research.
You did your research. Let's see how well you know me. Apparently very well. No, for me, I never got anything out of Gucci bags or Louis Vuitton bags. Not because I want to be different, but I couldn't justify to myself to spend like four figures on any accessoire, you know, yeah. I couldn't justify.
Up to 78% of professional athletes face financial difficulties within 3 years after ending their careers. The Finance Views Group helps players secure their future in time. Look ahead, think long term, and find out more about a free consultation with Finance Views Group A. You can find the link in the description below.
Maybe it's because I'm a kind of a farm boy, I come from the countryside. And I don't fancy those things. All I fancy is spending my money on the people I care. And yeah, maybe spend 1 or 2 euros more than other people on vacation.
Yes.
And on my people. But that's why I collect my money to spend it with the people I love, I guess.
But is it not the best thing that to collect experiences instead of some materialistic things?
Well, it's not up to me to judge. I think most of us would agree on what you just said, but everybody has his own preferences and priorities in life, so it's not up to us to judge, but I tell you my story and that's how it
yes.
is.
I want to take you back when you left Austria, because you were playing for a big club, Austria Vienna. What was the decision to move out of your comfort zone and leave your country?
I guess unhappiness, mm-hmm. dissatisfaction, unease, you know. Of course, my dream was also to climb the ladder in Europe.
Yes.
And make it to the next bigger league, next bigger club, always next big thing. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to Austria Wien, and this step didn't go as planned.
Okay.
Now, without pointing fingers or blaming anybody, it just didn't turn out the way I wanted to. Mm-hmm. If you want, we can go into detail. But after 1.5 years, I felt stuck. I felt like I couldn't move. Mm-hmm. And I needed a change. But I was still contracted. And Austria Wien wouldn't let me go for free, because even after not feeling very comfortable, they still valued me because okay. I brought certain things to the table. So the only way to escape, under quotation, was career, because they kind of fell in love with me by scouting and they were able to pay some transfer fee. Mm-hmm. My unhappiness compared with, yeah, this feeling of, I like adventures. I want to go out there. I want mm-hmm. to explore. I want to see what's like in Korea. You know, there's a combination of those two things where the driving force behind.
Did you lose joy for playing football while you were in the club?
Yes, but more so I just was angry all the time.
Okay.
It was anger that took over my life, where I was not really used to being a substitute.
Okay.
And here the first time I experienced it, to be week after week being on the bench, I hated it. I got angry. So hate and anger filled me. And even when I walked home from training and spent time with family and friends, I was, a pain in the ass to be around, I guess. Okay. So back then, I didn't understand. And I would argue that it was a good thing because I had this drive, you know, this motivation. And if I sit on the bench, this is like the worst thing in the world for me.
Yes.
Now, of course,
you
it's not.
Take it.
But that was my mindset and my mentality, you know. So this I couldn't handle. And it was embarrassing. And you want to escape embarrassment. And I did so by
leaving the country.
By leaving the continent.
The continent, yes. Do you remember packing your bag? Going through the emotions of it? Was it your first time leaving your continent?
Oh, well, you know, we had some vacations in Mexico.
Okay.
You know, but not the same.
Yes.
But what I do remember very sharp, you know, very good memory is one of my first meals in Korea. The first day I moved into the apartment, it was like a cold apartment, basically, because there's not much warmth from the decoration or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was big and I had no food at home. So I went to a supermarket and I bought this set. It was like a taco set.
Yes.
It was the taco and the cucumber and the tomato and the chicken, right? And I sit home and I open this and I prepare a taco. Mm-hmm. And I sit there and think, wow, shit. You know, it just started. It's like my fifth day and I have 2 years ahead of me. Like, how am I going to survive this? You know, look at me. I sit in an empty apartment with a taco set, you know? Like, it's ridiculous. But at the same time, anything that's ridiculous excites me, you know? So
even though you had a big contract, I assume, leaving Europe to go to Korea, I assume you had a good contract.
Well, to be totally frank, I'm not going to tell you some stories that are not true. If the Korean team would have paid me the same money I would have made in Austria, I don't think I would have done it. You know, I was preaching all the adventure and I was not happy, but still financial part was also
important.
So there were three aspects that drove.
Yes. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about it because one thing is getting money, but at the same time you arrive there, even if you had a big contract, but the happiness was not there because you were alone in an empty apartment.
Okay, so here's the deal. If I, you know, as a boy, you dream, oh, one time playing the stadium of Admira, right? And
yes.
You say, oh, one time to make money as a football player. And then you make money. You say, oh, one time four figures.
It never stops.
It never stops. So you go to Korea, you open your first paycheck. Wow, it looks so nice.
Yes.
Two, three paychecks later, you don't bat an eye. Like yes. It became so normal. And you think, well, I heard this guy earns more than me. And you already get, you know, feel like, oh.
Into this mindset.
Yes. Oh, greedy. You get greedy. Mm-hmm. You become greedy because that's who we are as humans. That's just the nature. It's never enough. And you become greedy. So that was the financial aspect. But putting this aside, I got there and Koreans are very cold in the beginning.
Okay.
They are very cold. They just walk by you. You basically walk first time in the kitchen area. Mm-hmm. And the players, you see the first time and they just walk by you. They don't even pay attention to you. And then you have to make an effort together with the translator to go to every player and shake their hands and introduce.
Okay.
But the first weeks, it was not like, hey, Richard, you're new. Come on, I take you for coffee. I show you if you need help. You know, this is normal for us.
Of course.
But for them, no. So for them, it's more like they're suspicious, you know. They don't know if they can trust the foreigner kind of like this because the experience is they just come and, I don't know, take the money and go home so they don't open up easily. But if you're willing to adapt, you know, and when you start performing well, that's a big shift in their mindset. If they see you start performing well for them, you are fighting, you're giving you everything, then they start respecting you once you got the respect, because respect is the number one priority in Korea, mm-hmm. Right? It's a whole nother story. But if you gain their respect, then I think they open up their hearts as well to you.
I would like to ask you two things. The first thing is like, how did you change your mindset of not wanting more, like of not being the greedy you said before? How did you manage to stop that?
I didn't. I mean, I didn't and I did, because we fast forward now, right? To after 1.5 years in Korea, I had a 1+1 deal. After 1 year, they chose the option. So mm-hmm. I had my second year. In my second year, my agent already told me, look, Richard, you are doing fantastic. The feedback all around is fantastic. Prepare for a new contract offer anytime soon.
Yes.
But not only from your club, but from other clubs in Korea or maybe even other countries mm-hmm. in Asia. So I was, of course, I was honored and flattered and felt amazing. Yes. Because before in Austria, I felt like I didn't get any appreciation. And there, they put me on a pedestal and make me feel like, wow, you're so good. They said, how is possible you don't play in Austrian national team, you know? We don't believe there's a better center back in Austria. You know, that's how I felt. It was amazing.
But I saw some pictures. There were stadiums, huge, having your pictures around the
stadium. Oh, yeah, it was China, though.
Okay, it was China, okay.
Korea had huge stadiums from the World Cup 2002, mm-hmm. in Korea and Japan. But the fan base was so-so back in the day. It was like 7,000 average a game in a 50,000 stadium. Right? Anyway, so I had to make a decision because even though I was so in love with playing football, it was so much fun. Once the game finishes, I go home and I'm by myself. Day after day, month after month, for 1.5 years. And I felt, in your 20s, you're in the prime of your life.
Yes.
And I felt, this is the prime of my life. Just play football and don't have any special things going on besides the pitch, you know. And I kept pondering and wondering, like, kind of the purpose of life and pursuit of happiness. And yes, money is fine. So to anyone I spoke, I asked the question, so what shall I do? Shall I stay in Korea for another 3 years, spend like from 24 to 29 the prime of my life in Korea and don't have much action and adventure in my life? Because I felt after 1.5 years, you know, they're saying like, been there, done that. Yes. And I felt I've been there, I've done that. I've won a title. I was in the team of the season. Mm-hmm. And I felt I need something else. I need more, whatever the more is, right? I need more. So to anyone I spoke, they say, hey, Rich, this money you have to take because it never comes again in your life. You can only be football player for so long, but you need to collect this money. And they always gave me advice from their perspective. What would they do, right?
Yes.
Without walking a mile in my shoes, another saying.
So that's a typical thing that happens in humanity.
Yes, yes. And it's not, I'm not blaming, I'm just saying how it is. So I learned this lesson by, if somebody asks me for advice, it's one thing to say what you want to do, but you have to know who you're talking to.
Yes.
And so for me, it was this magical day. I told these stories many times, but maybe for your audience, this question was omnipresent. And on one game day, I went to the coffee shop and I sit down by myself. And on the wall was the world map. And there were X's on each places where this coffee shop, I don't know, draws their coffee from.
Yes.
So in South America, in Africa. And I just stared at this wall and I was thinking, look at all the places in the world where they have coffee.
Yes. You
know? It's awesome. It's beautiful. But at the same time, all these places, surely they also play football in all these places. And I did some research and I found out in the Maldives, you know, the Maldives.
Yes.
You know that there's a football league in the Maldives.
I had no idea.
See, that's how crazy the world is. Everywhere is football. And now I travel through Tajikistan to some villages and even there, the kids have the Ronaldo shirt on, you know?
I think the playing football is a language that can open so many doors for you.
No, football is the you compare it to other sports, there's nothing to compare it to. You say celebrities, who is the most famous man in the world? Ronaldo by a mile. Yes. I travel the world anywhere I go, they know Ronaldo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So to go back to the original story, so what am I doing now, right? Chasing the money or chasing life? And when I saw the world map, I said, you know, it would be pretty cool to play at all those places. And I was just saying it as a fun thing to say, but then it got me wondering, well, would it be possible? What do you think? If I go after Korea, if I go in the MLS, I think I did so well, surely I get the contract for the MLS. Once I'm in the MLS, you know, you're not far anymore from South America.
Yes.
So then I could, you know, I could tell an agent to tell teams in South America to go watch me, you know, and plan every step in the way. Once I'm in the South America, you know, I'm 30 and the Australian A-League, maybe the level is a little bit down. So they still view me as a good player. So I can even get a contract myself. So, you know, I was taking my thoughts, you know, 10 years ahead. And this idea excited me so much. And at the very same day where we had the game, I was performing amazingly. Because I was so excited about my own idea I made.
Yes.
But then I shared those ideas with 2-3 people. And once I shared them with enthusiasm, I didn't get the same enthusiasm back. And then and I said, all right, they don't get me. Because I was viewing it, they were viewing it as, yeah, but the money, right? You lose so much money on it. And I was like, no, no, this money I'm losing is not lost. It's just transferred into an investment. And this investment calls itself exploration. Mm-hmm. I invest in exploration. And once I explore all continents, not just for holiday, for 1 week to see a world wonder.
Living there.
So if I can collect this to my personality, I would assume that I'm a very ask man once I retire.
Yes.
And maybe even some company that is not about football or sports, but they look at this guy and say, hey, this guy has something nobody else in my company brings along. I'm going to hire him, even though he has no technical knowledge. So that was my motivation. And that's why also why I found my peace of leaving the money aside, mm-hmm. because it filled me so much more than the money would have, you know? So that's how I came to a decision in the end, mm-hmm. that left me with peace instead of crying over money. Because as it turns out, the naked truth, I don't even know, but after Korea, I didn't get what I want. I didn't get in the MLS.
You were without a club.
Yeah, for 3 or 4 months.
And you expected to have a great offer.
Oh, I expected like 20 offers from the MLS. I thought I can choose. I was in the team of the year with Kim Min-jae, I told you.
Yes.
Kim Min-jae,
yes,
right? Yes. So surely, but people view Korea, especially Asia, 10 years ago, was viewed different. If they want to scout a young, talented Korean, they look there. But for foreigners, they think only washed up foreigners go there and make some money, but they don't value them as high value players. And I didn't see it. I didn't see it coming. You can call me now, like I'm a gambler. I gambled on going to the MLS and turned down several other offers, especially mm-hmm. from Asia, until the train had left the station. And yes. I was left with nothing for 3 months until Viborg could. And then the second division, Denmark, they were battling the promotion. And always when I first heard it, I was, man, what I do in the second division? No chance. It's super embarrassing, right? Mm-hmm. I tell you just how I felt.
Yeah, of course.
Even though Viborg is a...
I know the feeling.
Yeah. And so,
because you have been playing somewhere, you are the best player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you go back and then...
What the people think of you, right?
Yes, but that's the problem. Why should the question be what the other people think of you? So, and that's something I learned also much later on.
Yeah.
And I paid the price on my own career, trying to please everyone.
Well, it is, we speak about football, right? And sports, yes. But this is for everyone in life.
Of course.
Oh, I cannot change my job. I don't know. I don't want to change my location, my house, whatever it is. People feel uncomfortable about change. And sometimes, or more often than not, it's also about the judgment of others. And this is something, it's so strong and I'm so aware of it.
Yes.
And yet, I sometimes just can't escape it, you know?
We also chose a profession that is about getting the confirmation that you are good from everywhere. That's our profession. That was football. It's a little bit hard also to completely get out of this.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I mean, it's more about the judgment of doing things differently and then people pointing fingers and you say, what a weird guy.
Yes.
And also, it's not about yourself. It's also about the people around you that love you, that also feel the pain when people call you weird.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So you also need to keep that in mind that I don't know if you can really be 100% truly authentic, 100% at all times yourself. I don't know if it's possible. It's kind of an imaginary dream, vision I have. And I try to chase it somehow, mm-hmm. but I am truly aware I cannot. Maybe you say I don't have the strength yet to do it. Maybe it's impossible. Maybe I get there one day, but I'm not there yet, even mm-hmm. though I'm ahead of most, I would say.
I just, in my perspective, I just change the questions I'm saying to myself. Why do I need to live a life of someone else? And why not to live on my full potential?
I agree with you, but saying it is one thing and doing it.
Yeah.
And saying that, comes so easy, but doing.
Absolutely. But once you start doing it, I don't know, it's like you kind of change your mindset and you start believing it.
Well, I think you have a good example to show yourself by starting the sports journey, right?
Yes.
I'm just assuming, correct me if I'm wrong, in the beginning, maybe people think, who does he think he is now, you know?
Probably. And in the beginning, it also sucked, to be honest. But if you start something when you are really good at it, then you are too late. You have to start and take the process.
And if you're not going to get criticized, you're not good enough, probably,
yes.
or whatever it is.
Yes.
So yeah, criticism surely or being spoken down on or behind someone's back, honestly, is more like a compliment, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't do it, then you're not...
Yeah, and most of the people, they won't change, but they're not willing to do something in their daily life to change that.
I agree.
But they tend to complain about it instead of doing something about it.
I agree.
And that's why I chose not to spend time with.
It's another good point, yeah, who you spend your time with. Very good, yeah.
And then you try to be surrounded by people who want something more for their lives, whatever it is.
I agree, totally.
And,
totally.
Yeah.
And also another thing, like a pattern behavior from, don't want to call it Austrians, maybe more so than other places, but is judge before you ask,
yeah,
instead of ask before you judge, right? This is what I feel like, that many people draw to conclusions very fast, very quick, without any curiosity, what's the driving force behind this person's actions or thoughts. This is, to me, a very sad thing,
mm-hmm.
because you see how closed-minded and narrow-minded people are. And at the same time, I call it one of my biggest strengths. And in America, they said to me, I have a childish curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not curious, like a child.
Yes.
You know, why is the sky blue? I don't understand. I want to know, why is the sky blue? Why is the water wet? I don't get it. Explain more to me.
Yes.
In any topic it is. And I don't feel embarrassed if I get explained something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it. Everybody around me understand it. I'm going to keep asking, you know, okay, you can love me, but I want to understand. If I feel like there's something in it for me to grow and get better, I ask 1,000 questions until I get it.
But yeah, but probably most of the people, they have the same questions, but they're not asking them.
Because they are,
maybe they are stupid questions or whatever it is.
Exactly, that's right.
Tell me about being the foreigner in countries where it was not Austria anymore.
Best. It's the best.
But the feeling of the first day in the dressing room.
The first day is the worst. Sorry, it's the worst. It's the worst. The first days are the worst. I hate change. I hated change from a boy onwards. When I changed school because this other school had 4 more hours a week of soccer practice and I want to become professional. So I knew I had to change. Like I hated it. I hated the first time I changed the club with 14 years, as much as I hated from, you know, I was in the second team of Admira and we were about to go to preseason with Didi as our coach.
Yes.
And I love preseason with the boys in a hotel, nice food, nice training, everything. I like the coach environment. And then Didi comes to me and says, Rich, you're not coming to the training camp with us because you go with the first team. And my reaction was like this. Oh, really? Well, okay then. And he's like, you crazy? I just told you you're promoted to the first team. And I said, yeah, I know. But I was just so looking forward to going with your team, with my friends, you know? So I hated the change so much, but I knew things had to be done. So I always knew at the end, things need to be done, whether I like it or not. So it's funny because if you look at my career, there are so many changes, not only a change of clubs, but a change of scenery, culture, society, everything. And people would say that, oh, he just likes the change. It comes easy to him. No, it comes not easy. It comes not natural. I hated it so many times. But once you do it over and over again, you get used to, and it's nothing that was a gift that I'm, it comes easy. No, I hated it, but now it comes easy because I did it so many times. Yeah.
You traveled around the world. How hard was for you to make a family? Was it something actually that is in your mind?
Well, I appreciate the question because not many times people go down this path, right? So for me, during my 20s, I was a different man. I had different views on the world, on life, on everything. And once I'm on the other side of 30, you know, and you approach the end of your career and certain things change in your mindset, whatever it is, I start more and more got this feeling of family.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I feel like I'm on the highway,
yes.
Right? In my 20s, I'm on the highway and I'm cruising on the highway and there's the exit and I'm cruising and the exit and I still keep going. And now, okay, I'm in the mid-30s, we're men, we have time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm wondering, maybe I missed the exit, right? With the family thing.
Yes.
But I didn't know better in my 20s, but now I do. And in the end of the day, I think that all we do and our path, we have a creator and I feel like I'm chosen to walk this path.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have trust and faith that my time for creating a family, becoming a father, a husband, whatever it is yet to come. Yeah.
Tell me more about faith.
Yeah.
How did it come to you? Or was it something that was always inside of you?
Yeah, it's funny. I always had a suspicion.
Mm-hmm.
I always had a suspicion that there's a creator, a God.
Yes.
But I wasn't sure and I didn't dig into it until I spent 2 years with a former teammate of mine in China.
Mm-hmm.
And I admired him for who he was as a person in the first time I met him, we had a coffee after 20 minutes, I called him a friend for life. You know, I had this feeling he's a friend for life. There's something about him. And after 1.5 years, 2 years, towards the end of 2 years, mm-hmm. I said to him, mate, I've spent 2 years with you. There is something about you I admire so much. I feel like I don't have it. You have a secret to life. And I want to know the secret sauce to your life. You know, what is it that makes you? And
what was
it? It's a weird question, right? If somebody asked me, I would not have, what you're going to tell a person that asks you that question, right? You want to say, oh, wow, I'm surprised, I'm humbled, whatever. But he's like, no, I know. Everything you see comes directly from God. Without God, I would be nothing. I could do none of it. And it didn't make any sense. But we go back to what we spoke about earlier, about asking questions, being curious over judging, right? I said, okay, I have no idea what this guy is telling me, but the least I can do is look into Jesus Christ, into God and into the history and into God's word. So I made it a New Year's resolution to start reading the Bible. I give myself 1 year's time and read the Bible and see what it takes.
This year or the previous one?
It was the start of 2024.
Okay.
Yeah. So I started reading the Bible and I thought, you know what? I don't know what will come out of it. I don't care, but at least it's historical knowledge. I think everybody should know who is Jesus Christ. What did he do? What was he known for? Mm-hmm. I think even though everybody knows of him, not many know what did he do or what did he stand for? Why did he die? What happened with his death? Nobody, you know? So I thought it's interesting. And once I read it, of course, you need a discipline, big time discipline, because especially the Old Testament can be a hard read and it's 1,600 pages, very tiny letters, right? So it's also a discipline training. So I like the challenge, but what I found was incredible. And I come to the conclusion, it's undeniable. We have a creator and I can only, you know, put on everyone's heart at one point in your life, find the time and the discipline, look into it.
Okay.
Are you the curious person or are you the judging person? Mm-hmm. Because if you're curious and you look into it, you're going to find things, it's going to be ridiculous. You will not believe.
What did you find about yourself?
It showed me how flawed I am.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that I am a decent human, but Jesus takes it to a different level, you know? And I feel like I want to become closer to his. He was a role model for us as well, right? And I want to come closer to the way he was. And you start to find out like you're not the guy you believed you are. You thought you're pretty cool, but that's not really cool. Mm-hmm. Jesus is cool. What he did is cool. And I want to follow his example and lead. So that's what I found out about myself.
Did you change the way of living after that?
Yeah. My approach to so many things. And it helped me also to deal better because at my last year, I retired with 34.
Mm-hmm.
And people keep telling me, why you retire? 34 is not old. Which is true. But it was my time. It was my time. And I had I was secure about it and peaceful about it. And
that's a big thing.
It's a very big thing. But in this last year, in the beginning, it wasn't my plan to retire.
Mm-hmm.
So I start the season injured. You know, I'm still playing, but I'm injured. I can't play and perform the way that I want to because I'm injured. So you know how it is as a player, right? And then you don't play and you lose your confidence and all these stories. And then you face retirement and you feel like, is my body ever going to hold up again? So 1 million questions. And normally, if you look at it, especially in my case, I should crumble. I should fold and be devastated and be the half of myself.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was looking for Jesus, I had still peace, you know, like he carried me through it in a way that I have not experienced before, because before the football was my God.
Mm-hmm.
Football was great. I was great.
Yes.
Football was bad. I was bad, you know,
even though a lot of things besides football were
everything. I have an amazing life. And then you don't play, you don't start a game and you project a scenario into your mind where the world is ending. You know, it's ridiculous. So, that changed my perspective a lot. And you rely, you know, like it's not my plan, it's his plan for me. And I surrender to his will and to his plans. And it helps me to deal, because also as a player, and now it becomes like a thing to go see a sport psychologist. not back then, but I had one for so many years and it helped me. It helped me, but only, you know, if you have pain and you take a painkiller, you don't feel the pain for a couple of hours.
But then it comes
it
back.
It comes back. And for me, it was with the psychology like this. It helped me for a little bit, but my problems always came back. They mm-hmm. always came back. Yeah, until I brought my problems to my face. Mm-hmm. And now it's carrying me. And they are never too big for me to go home from football, from job, from whatever, and be rude.
Yes.
Because of what happened, you know? I can distinguish not better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very hard to put it into words
yes.
so that people can truly follow what I feel, but mm-hmm. I'm trying my best, yeah.
There is a famous line, hard times create strong men create good times. Looking at your journey, the injuries, uncertainty, what was the hardest moment that you lived in football, outside of football? We all have these kind of moments that like really shape you and change you. Because, you know, if I check your Instagram, everybody's going to see where you played, the countries,
yeah.
or everything you lived. And most of them, they're going to say, look at the life he lives.
Yeah.
But I assume that that's not the reality.
Okay, so I told you about being alone.
Yes.
It's just saying, look at how I smile. I like to be alone. I just put me in China. They put me 30 days in a hotel room. And people think I'm suffering. I had the time of my life, you know? Yes. Just a hotel room and me for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I always ask for special stories to tell. So how can I be upset if I'm in a special scenario right there, you know?
Yes.
In a difficult situation. I'm so grateful because that's what my life is about, collecting those moments and those stories mm-hmm. so I can share them. So I can never be ungrateful if I'm stuck in a bad situation.
Yes.
But I would say the worst situation was maybe in Melbourne
mm-hmm.
where I could not pass to you the ball on 5 meters because I was so shaking, because I was so nervous, because I lost my confidence.
Okay.
And I completely changed. You know, I was on the way to training and I was nervous to go to training. We had the video session before the training about what we're going to train. And I saw what we do, the build up. So I have to build up, but I don't want the ball. So I was nervous in the video session. I go out to train.
Even though you had done it thousands of times.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just how it is. I don't know if you've been in a situation. But
I have done an exercise when I was playing in AEK. I can remember. There is an exercise where you pass the ball between two.
Yeah, ball.
Yes. And I see the exercise. I feel the pressure that the coach is watching. The players are watching. What is going to happen if I make a mistake? And when I try to pass the ball, a pass that I have done a million of times.
Yeah.
I couldn't pass the ball. 3 times, I couldn't pass the ball between the poles. And that was the pressure I felt. I didn't want the ball.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. So, what's your solution?
I never had a solution. Right. I just keep working harder.
But it's funny.
We were hard in my body, but I was very fit. But I didn't see how to work in the mind. I didn't know how to work in the mind. That's what, for me, that was the case back then.
Now looking back, you have an answer to this problem?
I should have believed in myself and look at my business and not what other people are going to do about me or say about me. That was, why do I need to spend my energy?
Like if I see you in this moment and I tell you exactly this, you think the next day you go to training?
No,
right?
That's why I don't regret anything I lived after that, because you cannot become the person you are today even if you don't go through these moments. And the fact that I know how it feels, I can help the athlete now and go through the moment and tell him, look, it's not the way it is, and find the right words to approach him. Because they can tell you, but you don't really see it. But if you have someone who has lived it, and tell him, look, it's not the way it is. You're good, you can do it.
Okay, who is supposed to tell you this?
It's a good question.
No, I know the answer. In fact, I do know the
yourself.
Answer. It doesn't work. For me, it doesn't work. In this moment, I need the coach. I need the head coach.
Okay.
It's all I need is the head coach.
The confirmation of him.
Just that he cares and he's trying to show to you, I want to bring you back to who you were. Because for me, for 1.5 years, okay, not from the beginning, but I slipped into this hole and I couldn't get out of it. And I'm not blaming the coach for falling down, you know?
Yes.
I'm responsible myself. But I couldn't get out myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wishing so many nights for the coach to realize.
They tell you that.
Take me, you know, put your arm around me and say, I saw you play in Korea. You are the best player in our team. And I know something is bothering you so much. Why you can't perform, you know? I want to help you. And don't stress about one game or one day over the next month. I give you 4 weeks. Don't worry about mistakes. You can make mistakes all you want. We're not going to judge you. Make them. Okay, I want to be here for you over 4 weeks to find this confidence, this mojo, find the mojo again.
Yes.
And I'm not saying a coach is, you know, to blame, but he has the power to lift the player. Only he does. Not the assistant coach, not the captain, not the best goal scorer, not the manager. Only the head coach can. And this is my takeaway. Because after 1.5 years Melbourne, luckily and thankfully, my name in Korea was still very good. They didn't care what I did in Australia. They cared what I did before in Korea. So they called me and said, well, if we can help you, we're going to take you with a kiss on your hand.
Okay.
And then I come to the coach and the coach said, you are my guy, man. You lead my defense. You do what, how you see fit. I trust you. Play.
Crazy.
I hear this.
And then directly. Friend,
you would think this is a process of finding your confidence. Bro, it's this. That's all I need to hear. And I was, boom, back. The king again, you know?
Yes.
That's it. How is it?
Just a phrase.
It's amazing.
When people talk about you, long after football, what do you hope they say about you, about the person?
To be totally honest, the first thing that comes to my mind is, and I heard this is not my quote, I heard this from someone else. He said he want to be remembered for the courage of his faith.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult in Austria for me to have the courage to share my faith at all times. But eventually one day, I wouldn't mind being remembered with this quote,
I would like to ask you something. When you came back, you stopped playing football, you came back, probably Austria was not the same place as you left it. How was it when you came back? Before you left again, because you traveled the world afterwards, right?
Yeah. No, so I always come back around Christmas time.
Okay.
Yeah. Most places I've played at, they had the season was the whole year, like a full season, starting March, finishing in November. So I always had December at home, Christmas at home. It was really beautiful. Regarding Austria and how it changes. Not really, does it? Did it? You live a couple of years here.
Yeah. I mean, for me, whenever I go back, it's something like somehow everything has stacked at the same time, at the same place, pace maybe, once I left the country.
Yeah, city. I know, for me.
My friends, the same conversations all over again.
Yeah, I agree. So I wouldn't say that there's much change. What changed is like the prices. I feel like this is always, you know, I come back home and I say, what? Again, the coffee, another euro? To put another euro on top of another euro?
Inflation,
Yeah. So I feel like it becomes more, okay, this is the world, you know, inflation. But other than that, the people don't change really, you know, society don't change. Austrians, who they are. And yeah.
But you changed because you leave the world. For me, that's a takeaway.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, if you play 9 years in four continents and you're still the same, like you have to ask yourself, you wouldn't make it 9 years. Let's put it like this. Yeah.
I prepared the fire round, some quick questions. Then you can reply either by saying one word or just a sentence.
Yep.
One country that changed you the most?
America.
Why? I'm just curious.
No, just. That's where I found the faith.
Okay.
And also at the same time, we have the warmest, friendliest, kindest people I've met on my journey, for sure.
One lesson football taught you too late?
I would say, you know, football is not the most important thing. But at the same time, I know because I made it the most important thing in my 20s, early 20s, it drove me so hard.
Okay.
So I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily that I learned it too late.
One place that still feels like home.
You know what? All the places. You know, on the way here, I was just going through my mind. I was thinking about when I lived in China or in Korea.
Yes.
I remember this apartment all the time. And anywhere I look, doesn't matter if my time was successful or not, I have such a big smile of all the places. They are all my home, really. Also, this is also maybe a misconception. People think because I saw a lot, I can now kind of rest in peace at home. It's the opposite. Because I've been to all the places, it kind of pains me that it's gone. You know, you cannot, you can only live at one place, you know. I want to live at 20 places at the same time, because anywhere it was so beautiful.
And that's the hard part of also being a footballer.
It is a nice hard part.
Yes, because you have limited time and then you have to change and you have your friends, you leave everything behind and then you go somewhere else to start all over again. Your big focus for the next 3 to 5 years?
Obviously, I started my coaching license. So
congratulations.
No, I just started. I didn't pass any exams yet, so not too early. But yeah, it's definitely interesting. It's also different from what I expected when I was a player. Mm-hmm. Now that I transition into becoming a coach. So I'm curious about the next step. And next 3 to 5 years, at least the next 1 to 2 years, I want to see how does it fit my personality? Mm-hmm. How do I like it? And if I see a potential and future. And I think, yeah, that's the near future.
One belief that you had to unlearn?
Well, I'm still in the process. Mm-hmm. Like, the opinion of other people is still something I really try to get rid of. And it's such a nasty disease almost.
Yes.
Really, once you're infected, you can never really get rid of it. But I'm in the process.
One thing you wish young players would stop chasing?
Again, maybe other people's ideas and opinions, because maybe as a boy, I want to become a football player or whatever it is. You know, your parents love you. They care so much about you that they try to guide every step of the way, which is a good thing. But at the same time, it can be limiting yourself and it can suppress what you really feel like. So just
absolutely.
Just be aware of it. Not going to say, oh, the parents. No. I'm just saying, be aware.
Thank you so much. Yeah. That was all from my side.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your experiences. And I hope that the people who are going to watch the episode, they're going to get something out of it.
It was a good interview. I appreciate you, my host.
Thank you very much. Thank you for watching once again. If you like the episode, please make sure you subscribe. And of course, you can let us know in the comment section below if you liked it, what kind of questions you would like to ask us next time, and who is going to be our next guest. See you next time.